Blog Talk Radio.
Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Again, thank you everybody for hanging with me this morning and chilling with me. TGIF, the weekend is upon us, and you know, all of the wonderful things that that implies. But as usual, we have a lot of stuff to get to today, lots of stuff going on. There's never a dull moment, it seems, which is good for people like me. So of course, the chat room is open, and you can always go there. That's always fun. And you can call in here and talk to yours truly, talk to moi. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And like I said, we've got a lot of stuff to get to, so I'm going to just jump right in here. And, you know, what everybody seems to be talking about this week, and this is just the beginning. This is just the tip of this iceberg. This is going to go on. You know, we're talking about the Clintons. We're talking about Hillary Clinton. We're talking about her emails. We're talking about her private email server in her home. And, you know, the thing with the Clintons is that for anyone who remembers the 90s and all of the stuff, all of the scandal, all of the surrounding paraphernalia that always seems to surround and follow the Clintons. It's not like a sitcom. It's not over in 30 minutes or an hour. It gets dragged out, and it gets dragged out forever and ever and ever and ever, because, you know, there's always that core group of people that are going to defend the Clintons, both of them. You know, whether or not if they're holding the bloody knife in their hand, that core group of people is going to defend them. And we know who we're talking about. You can turn on the TV and you can see Lanny Davis. You can see Donna Brazile. You can see, you know, pick a talking head, pick a pundit. And there's a certain core group of Democrat talking heads that are always going to come to Bill and Hillary's rescue. And of course, the latest in what is sure to be, well, you know, if there could be a lot more that stems from this, that is an outgrowth from this whole email debacle. And the FBI, you know, it's funny because it's being reported that Hillary Clinton turned over her personal email server to the Justice Department and the FBI. Well, they're saying that she turned over, air quotes, turned over her server to the FBI. Uh-uh. The FBI came in and said, guess what? We're taking it. And when the FBI says, hey, there's your server, we're going to take that, even if you're Hillary Clinton, you have to kind of say, okay. And that's what happened. Whether you want to use the phrase turned over, the FBI seized, confiscated, your phrase, pick your word. That's what happened. Long story short, the FBI and the Justice Department is now in possession of Hillary Clinton's private email server. And, of course, the reason for this is that there was a sample taken of emails. And I believe it was about 40. And in that group of 40 emails, there were two there that have been deemed that they have classified material within the body of that email. And so if you are talking about 40 emails out of how many, I've heard so many numbers bandied about. I've heard 30,000, I've heard 50,000. You know, look, we can pick a round number and say between 40 and 50,000. You know, 4 emails out of 40, that's 10%. Do the math there. And it's not hard to think that just maybe that there's a little more than these two emails that potentially have some damning classified information to them. I'm going to go to a phone call very quickly here, and I am going to see who is on the other line. Hello, you are on Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thank you for calling. Who am I talking to? What's going on? Hello? Let's see. Are they there? Did they hang up? You know, when the FBI has this server, and again, there's 2 emails here out of a possible, or 4 emails, and 2 of them have classified information out of a possible thousands and thousands, between 40 and 50,000 emails. There's a little bit of math to be done there. There's something there to do. And the report I have here is from Wednesday. It is an AP story. And it says here, again, 2 of the emails that were taken in the sample, that were taken out of the sample of Hillary Clinton's personal email server, were designated top secret and sensitive compartmented information. And this is coming from, which is sensitive compartmented information is one of the government's highest classification ratings. So there's that. And so the investigation has begun. And, of course, Hillary Clinton's campaign says, of course, we're doing all we can to cooperate with the federal investigation. Let's see. This person is on the line again. Hello, are you there? Let's see if I can get them on here. Well, I don't know.
Hello?
Hi, you're on
Hello?
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Can you hear me?
This is Dan from Buffalo.
Hi, how are you? Gosh, Buffalo, that's a long way away. Thanks for listening. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm just happy it's not cold yet.
I bet. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I had something that seemed pretty relevant to the topic. You're talking about the scandal with Hillary Clinton, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be like a moral, personal question to you, I suppose, to put it kind of in the same frame of mind I put it in. In your personal opinion, do you believe that Hitler did nothing wrong?
No. I believe he did everything wrong. Hello? Oh, I've lost Dan. The call got dropped. Oh, please call back, Dan. Please call back if you can. Because that sounded like it was going to be an interesting exchange. So please call back if you can. Port here from the AP. And again, we're talking about Hillary Clinton's emails. And this whole thing has been brought about, this whole investigation has been brought about by 2 inspector generals and that have wanted to initiate an investigation here. I don't think that anyone within Hillary Clinton's inner circle is going to be immune to this. We know that her, I don't know, a personal assistant, I guess I don't want to really call her a secretary or anything like that. So I'll use that. Her personal assistant, Cheryl Mills, is, I believe, involved in this, as is her very close aide, Huma Abedin, is also involved in these. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of layers to this. And the statement from House Speaker John Boehner was, quote, "It's about time." And another quote here from RNC Chairman Reince Priebus said, quote, all this means is that Hillary Clinton, in the face of FBI scrutiny, has decided she has run out of options. She knows she did something wrong and has run out of ways to cover it up. Well, you know, we all know the history of the Clintons and their uncanny ability to skirt consequences, shall we say. And for months now, Hillary Clinton has been saying that this server never contained any classified information. It was all private. It was yoga lessons. It was Chelsea's wedding plans. It was all of these personal, you know, completely irrelevant things. But now we find that is not the case. So she has once again come out before the American people and willfully lied about it. And, you know, part of this investigation is going to be that they are investigating whether or not the classified information was improperly sent, because another part of this is that there was no encryption involved. And anybody who works in the medical field, I'm sure the legal field, anything where you're dealing with people's personal information like that, you are going to have to use some sort of encryption so that information passes along back and forth on the internet in a secure manner. And by all accounts, she had one IT guy, one computer geek, some dweeb that she had come in her house and take care of the server, and there was apparently no such encryption or any other process like that to keep anything secure. And so that would be another issue. And her attorney also at this point, her attorney David Kendall, who by the way is also under investigation, but that's another story for another day. What is it about the Clintons? Everybody they know is under investigation, or they've been indicted, or I don't know anybody. None of my personal people who I know, who I work with, nobody I know has been indicted or is, unquote, under investigation. I don't know anybody like that, but the Clintons, everybody they know is like that. But I digress. Hillary Clinton's attorney, David Kendall, also had in his possession three thumb drives containing copies of work-related emails sent to and from email server, and he has turned those thumb drives, say that fast, over to the Justice Department. So the thumb drives, again, according to the AP report, has copies of roughly 30,000 emails. And the FBI determined, of course, that not being someone with any security clearance of any sort was deemed to be allowed to remain in possession of these thumb drives. And the information, they're not speaking a lot about this. The investigation has just begun, and so people are really being kind of closed-lipped about it. And thumb drives, David Kendall, Hillary Clinton's attorney, was keeping these thumb drives in his office in Washington. Well, you know, again, how secure is that? And the two emails that are in question here, again, that are among four that had previously been determined by the inspector generals to contain classified information at the time they were sent. Now, the whole thing, Hillary Clinton has gone on and on about how she did not send or receive any classified emails or any emails that were classified at the time they were sent or received. So apparently that is that's the operative phrase here. That's the key phrase, at the time they were sent. I think it's kind of the modern day equivalent of it all depends on what is, you know, it could be. But earlier this week, Hillary Clinton said in a sworn statement that was submitted to a federal judge that she had turned over to the State Department all of the emails from the server that were or potentially were federal records. And this is a statement that she had to sign, and it's signed under penalty of perjury. If come to find out, she signed this document and any information pertaining to this document is untrue, she's in even more trouble than what could be happening right now. And so here's the thing. Bottom line, Hillary Clinton's server has been either turned over or seized. Pick your phrase, to the Justice Department and to the FBI because of some classified information that was contained in a sample of emails that were taken from this server. And, you know, from a legal standpoint, I think there are a lot of people who, you know, there's many, many people are asking the question, could Hillary Clinton really do some jail time for this? Could she really be in some serious legal trouble? Would it actually happen to her? Because, again, you know, we've watched the Clintons for 25 years skate on all kinds of allegations and things of that nature that investigations seem to be launched, but they never go anywhere. And, you know, I've seen and I've read various opinions and legal opinions from people who, you know, where they think that this may or may not go. And, you know, I think it has been, for so long, it's been conventional wisdom that, well, I think we all get the picture that the Clintons themselves feel that they are sort of above the law, that the laws that apply to you and me, to everyday average people, just don't apply because they're the Clintons. And if something happens here to where she really does face some serious legal trouble and she really and truly faces some jail time, first of all, shouldn't that automatically disqualify you from running for president of the United States? I'm no legal expert, but you know, you would think. And you know, I've heard several people. In fact, I heard the great one, Mark Levin, the other night, bring forth a theory, and I completely agree with this. And what he said was that he believes that Hillary Clinton, she in her own mind, she thinks that she has to become the president. She has to be elected president. And the reason that she has to be elected president is that it's going to protect her. It's going to insulate her from any sort of legal proceedings. Because if she would get the nomination and lose the election and there's a Republican president who appoints a Republican attorney general, and I think it would all be a dancing in the streets moment for us if that Republican attorney general was South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy. Wouldn't that be delicious? It would just be, I can't even think of a word. It would be so good. But, not, you know, it doesn't even have to be him. If it's somebody who is going to take the bull by the horns, shall we say, and really, really do what needs to be done here and follow the letter of the law and hold Mrs. Clinton accountable for any laws that may or not have been broken here. Again, if she loses in the primary and doesn't get the nomination, or she gets the nomination and she loses in the general election, she is Hillary Clinton private citizen at that point. And any Republican, hopefully conservative, because we've learned in the recent past, we've learned that sometimes those are two very different things. She's going to be toast. It's going to be bad for her. She thinks it's bad now. And you know what? She's at least astute enough to know that. Hillary Clinton is nowhere near the politician that her husband is. Say what you want about Bill Clinton, love him or hate him, but he is a master politician. And he also has the personality. He has the charisma. He has the whatever it is that make people want to run up to the barrier and shake his hand and and say hello to him and talk to him for just a few seconds. Whatever that is, whatever that thing is that you can't, maybe you can't pick the right word for, he's got it. He's definitely got it. But she just doesn't. She comes off as cold and aloof, and it's just not there for her. And like I said, this is just beginning. We're just reaching the tip of the iceberg on this. There's going to be much more information about what's on this server. Now, according to all accounts, the server was turned over to the FBI, having been scrubbed. It's wiped clean. Again, not only am I no legal expert, I'm also no computer expert, but I do know that the FBI, they have ways. They have people and they have ways of finding out what is on a person's hard drive, what is on a person's server that may perhaps that person thinks has been scrubbed, but maybe is not. We shall see. But again, this is just the beginning of this investigation, and like I said, we all know that any investigations involving the Clintons, they take a while because there's lots of stonewalling and gold bricking, as my mother used to, favorite word of hers, all sorts of stall tactics. Stay tuned, and we will see what kind of fallout there is from Hillary Clinton's personal email server. I'm going to take a short break. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everybody, for chilling with me today. Again, the chat room is open, and, of course, the number, 347-857-2620. Everybody, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. I'll be right back. Stay close.
But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. Contribution, well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, Bobby, you have to wait.
We're back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you one and all for hanging out with me on this Friday, TGIF. The weekend is upon us, finally. It does get a little iffy there long about Wednesday afternoon, does it not? Yes, it does. But we have made it. We have made it through to the other side, and we got lots to talk about today. We, of course, are talking about Hillary Clinton and the people who are Hillary Clinton supporters probably like to use the term turned over. She has turned over her server to the Justice Department and the FBI, her personal email server. I kind of think that when the FBI says, we want your server, it's really not, you're not really getting a, you don't have to decide whether or not you're going to give it to them. They're going to take it, regardless of whether you decide to give it to them or not. And so that's what happened, what has happened. And, of course, the server has been, it's been wiped clean. It's been scrubbed. But, again, there are ways. People who are experts at that sort of thing, sometimes there are ways of finding out just what was there. So, again, we are at the tip of that iceberg because we know, as we have learned over the years, that investigations involving the Clintons tend to drag on. So we will see what happens there. We will see what falls out there, if any. Of course, also, I don't know, I guess everybody pretty much knows by now that last weekend was the year anniversary of the shooting of Michael Brown here in St. Louis, in Ferguson. And, of course, that event was commemorated. And it was commemorated in various assorted ways. It was commemorated in marches and speeches and shootings. What? Shootings? Oh, yes. Shootings, you ask? Oh, yes. Shootings. This is a report from Newsmax. And this happened, I believe this happened on Sunday, last Sunday evening. There were some protesters in Ferguson, and there was a young man who was shot because he pointed a gun at police officers. And, you know, most times when you point a gun at police officers, they're going to shoot back at you. That's pretty much what they're trained to do. And County Executive Steve Stanger issued a state of emergency, and that part of that includes that St. Louis County Police immediately take charge of police emergency management activities in Ferguson and in the surrounding areas. And kind of the long and the short here of this was this young man, Tyrone Harris. He has been charged with first-degree assault on police officers, armed criminal action, and shooting at a motor vehicle. I believe also part of the story was that he was in a stolen car, and the gun that he used to fire at law enforcement was stolen as well. And but there was around, I think there was about, no, this was on Monday. Then the following day on Monday, of course, there was more protests and demonstrations. There was some protests at the St. Louis County Courthouse here in Clayton, which is for anyone who is outside of the area, is a suburb of St. Louis. And a lot of the things that happened on Monday, this past Monday, were billed as, quote, Moral Monday. Well, that's a nice term. It's a nice flowery term. But exactly whose morals are we talking about here? That would be my first question. But the cherry on the cake of Moral Monday came later on in the day when Interstate 70, which is a pretty main artery between St. Louis County and neighboring St. Charles County. Many, many people who live in St. Charles County work in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, and Interstate 70 is a major, major artery, as is the Blanchette Bridge that goes over the Missouri River from St. Louis County into St. Charles County. Well, protesters decided that it would be a great idea to shut down Interstate 70. Not only did they decide that it would be a great time to shut down Interstate 70, they decided that a great time to do that would be at rush hour. So think about this for a minute. You are, and let's say there's a lot of people that work in the evening. Not everybody's a 9-to-5 person. Let's say you were somebody who was trying to get to work. You're a second shift person. You're trying to get to work. Let's say you are trying to pick up your kids from daycare. And I do not have any children of my own, but I do know from all of my friends and coworkers that do have children, if you are not at that daycare by a certain time, you start getting charged extra. And but none of that, of course, was considered because it is all about the protesters and it is all about their agenda and it is all about what they want. And so what is also included in their agenda is to make your life miserable because somehow, and so about, I believe there was about 60 or 70 people who were arrested during that during the shutdown of the highway there. And of course, when you have these protests and demonstrations, you know, people like to use the phrase peaceful protesters. There may be some, and maybe I'm just watching too much local news. My thoughts and opinions on St. Louis local media pertaining to this topic, pertaining to this particular subject, I could go on for a whole nother show, but I won't do that. It's fodder. It's a topic for another day. But there are businesses in Ferguson that have been looted and destroyed not once, not twice, several times, three times, four times. And, you know, I don't know if people may call it, you know, devotion to someone's community that they keep coming back and trying to rebuild. People may say, no way, I'd never do it. You know, there's a lot of different opinions on it. And in fact, there was a woman here interviewed for the piece named, I'm sure I'm butchering her name, I'm sorry, Delena Jones, who owns a hair salon that has been damaged several times in the course of all of this since last year. And her quote was that she was asked about the gunfire and looting of at least two businesses that were in the area of where Michael Brown was shot, because there was things going on all along, up and down this stretch of roadway. And her quote was, "I think it's unfortunate that a beautiful day of events ended like that." And she also said, "Some people broke into some of the businesses on our lot, and so we are all here helping each other," adding that her shop had been turned into, quote, a wreck. And it's not the first time. And I think another question, after you ask, you know, about this being called Moral Monday, and asking whose morals are we talking about here? I think the next question after that to ask is, if you are a business owner along this stretch of West Florissant Avenue that runs right through the heart of Ferguson and is right near where Michael Brown was shot, if you're a business owner in this area, at what point do you throw up your hands? At what point do you just give up and say, you know what, I don't believe that these people want any change. I don't believe that they want any sort of – I think all they want to do is keep destroying and keep looting and keep rioting. And I'm tired of my business that I've worked so hard to build and invested so much of my own money in keeps getting destroyed, and I'm sick and tired of it. At what point do a lot of those business owners, and it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It doesn't matter, because when you're a business owner, you put your heart and your soul and most of your own money into that business to make it grow. And when you keep having things like this happen, you're losing money. You're losing money. You're losing everything that you have worked for and built up. So I don't, you know, I guess, again, it is all about how you view it. And a lot of people are willing to keep coming back and rebuild. And I guess that's a good thing. But if you have enough people who are saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm losing money. I'm losing a business that I've worked a lot of years to build up, and so they decide to pack up and leave. Then you have the question of people in the community complaining about there being no jobs. Well, why are there no jobs? Could it be because you have driven people to a limit to where they can't take any more of their business being destroyed, and so they say, I'm out of here, and they pack up and leave? Could that be why there's no jobs in the area? And what is ironic is that there on the space where the everybody probably remembers the Quick Trip, the convenience store that was burnt to the ground last summer after this shooting initially took place. And in the interim, the Urban League has bought that property, and they have put up a job center, resource center, that kind of thing for people in the community. And again, that's good, but if you're driving all the business owners out of the area, out of the community, because they can't keep their businesses afloat because they keep being destroyed, how are you going to help people with jobs? I welcome an answer. I'm not saying it can't happen, and I welcome an answer, but, maybe it's just something I'm not seeing. But, a lot of these things, like the shutting down of the interstate and things of that nature, are being fomented. They're being organized by the Black Lives Matter groups. And I think what started out maybe as a social movement, and I don't even know that they realize it, and what it is, I think what it more is more than not right now is that it is a vehicle to get the African American community out to vote and to vote Democrat in 2016, because it may sound like that I'm getting off topic and getting off subject here, and I don't mean to do that, but I think it's all connected. I think it's all interrelated. That I think the Democrat Party knows, and you don't even have to list the candidates at this point, because they know that because Barack Obama is not going to be on a ballot this year, Democrats are most people will probably tell you, most political experts will probably tell you that African Americans are more than likely going to do what they've always done, and that's vote Democrat 90% of the time. But they also know that Barack Obama is not on a ballot next year in 2016. And so they could be seeing that as a problem, that they are not going to get enough people to get out and vote. When you bring that up, that perhaps the Democrat Party is afraid that they are not going to get enough of African Americans out to vote, then you can go into, well, what are the choices of candidates? And I've got a few things to go into there as well. But currently, right now, today, you have Hillary Clinton, who is under investigation, and it is a serious one. It's a serious investigation. The media is going to try and downplay it and tell you that it's not a big deal, but don't fall for that. This is a federal investigation that involves national security. So you have Hillary Clinton, you have aging socialist Bernie Sanders, who I heard someone last night say that he represents the Woodstock generation. That's probably pretty true. A self-avowed socialist. You have former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. You have former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone here. There is a lot of talk of whether or not Vice President Joe Biden is going to jump in. I've even heard John Kerry's name brought up. I'll get to another name that you might know here in just a minute. But I think that there's some fear there. They know that Hillary Clinton. This is great, because this segues me into some presidential stuff I want to talk about. They know that Hillary Clinton is not a done deal. And so I think that somewhere there are people sitting in a dark smoke-filled room somewhere, knowing that they have to come up with a plan B and it's not happening for them. And, you know, so that could be a problem. But anyway, before I get into some presidential stuff, I think my buddy Dan is back. That is so cool. Let's see if I can get him back. Hello? Can you hear me? Oh, he's gone again. Ah, bummer. Well, hopefully he will call back. Please, whoever was just on the line, please call back. I would love to talk to you and love to hear from you. But, so there's that. There's the whole, you know, we had the commemorative demonstrations in Ferguson this week. St. Louis County Executive Steve Stanger, he extended the state of emergency, I believe, through, it was Wednesday evening, maybe yesterday. I believe it has been lifted as of right now. And so, you know, we'll see if things are, things try to get a little bit back to normal in Ferguson. And, you know, I think you're always going to have a few of your hardcore people who are going to be out there. But, you know, hopefully we are past the most of it and we're past the commemorative stages of this. But again, while we're talking presidential stuff, you know, what I don't think that you can talk about a lot of presidential politics without, of course, mentioning Donald Trump. And this is from Tuesday of this week. And, well, actually the poll was taken. This is a NBC News poll that was taken last weekend. And despite what people might think about his debate performance, Donald Trump is still very much in the lead, and he's still very much holding his own. And this is, it says it's a Gravis poll, found that more Republicans, 22%, that's about Ben Carson, the survey conducted Friday and Saturday, which, again, last weekend, finds Donald Trump holding his lead with 23% support among Republican primary voters. This is consistent with a Gravis marketing poll taken after the debate where 19% of Republicans said Trump won the debate. Again, here, this poll found 22% of Republicans felt Ben Carson had won the debate, and he's gotten a big-time surge in the polls. Texas Senator Ted Cruz was the second choice in the poll at 13%, and former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina was fourth with 11%. Again, there's a lot of people who have gotten polls in the aftermath of this debate based on the performance that people think they did. And, you know, I think the reason that Donald Trump continues to do well, there's several reasons. And one of them I'll get into here real quick and before I take a break. There are a lot of people, there's a lot of people that are mad, and they're mad about a lot of things. They're mad about the media's treatment of Donald Trump. They're trying to dismiss him, and they're trying their best to dismiss him, and he won't go away. They are fed up with what Carly Fiorina likes to call the political class, what Ted Cruz likes to call the Washington cartel. People are fed up with politicians, and they're fed up with politicians because they make all of these flowery statements and all of these flowery promises while they're campaigning, and then something happens to them when they get to Washington. Something comes over them. They breathe in some sort of Washington, D.C. air, and they don't do what they say they're going to do. None of them do. And it's been going on what seems like at least my lifetime, if not longer. And to a lot of that anger, for whatever reason the anger is there, be it anger at the media, be it anger at politicians, be it whatever it is that people are angry at, he's tapped into that. And the establishment Republican, whatever you want to call it, that group of people who sits on high and watches what else goes on in the party, they want him to go away big time, and he's not going away. And there's another reason. I'm going to take a break here, and I'll be right back, and we'll talk about it. Donald Trump is also appealing to a lot of millennials, and I'll tell you why I think that is in just a minute. We've got still lots more to get to, before we call it a day here at Conservative Cauldron Radio. So please stay close, stay right where you are. We're going to get into much, much more. I will be right back. Don't go away.
Between a boy and man, she was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan. Flashing through the sandbar, talking by the campfire. It's the simple things in life, like when and where.
You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you one and all for chilling with me on this TGIF Friday. The weekend is upon us. Sometimes it's hard to get to this point, but here we are. We are talking about lots of things. Of course, Hillary Clinton's email server problem, which, you know, here's the thing. Something my dad used to like to say to me. You're your own worst enemy. And you know what? I think that's Hillary's biggest problem. Hillary's biggest problem. Hillary's worst enemy is looking at her in the mirror. Oh, well, of course, she does a lot of things that, you know, she thinks she's above the law and she'll get away with. But hopefully that will not be the case here. But we were talking about some of the reasons maybe why Donald Trump is hanging in there. And before the break, I said I think he has tapped into a lot of anger with people, and there's different kinds of anger. There's anger at the media. There's anger at politicians. There's anger in just big government in general. And one of the groups that he is appealing to the most is millennials. And I usually like to say, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that the when people say millennial, they're thinking about an age group that's roughly like 18 to 35. And here's the thing. I heard this yesterday on some talk radio, I'll tell you. And somebody put forth this theory, and I thought it was very interesting and could be very spot on. And that is that think about people of that age. And people of that age, all of their lives have been told that, you know, everybody get, you know, it's everybody's equal. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody, nobody's better than anybody else. And everybody gets the same. Everybody gets the same. It's all equal, everything. You know, and the whole, along with the whole everybody gets a trophy thing, they've also heard that success is somehow bad, and that you if you are successful, that somehow you shouldn't brag about it, and that if you are successful, you've gotten that, you've earned that success, you've earned, and if it's monetary success, if you've become wealthy, that you have amassed that wealth, you've earned that wealth through some sort of ill-gotten manner, that you've ripped somebody off, or that you've screwed somebody out of something, or that you've earned that money in a way that is not good. And so people in that age group have heard this all their lives, and now all of a sudden they're hearing a guy like Donald Trump, who is not afraid to tell you how bloody rich he is. And, you know, Donald Trump may be a lot of things. You can call him whatever you want. But first of all, I think it's got to be common knowledge that you can't get to a place in life where Donald Trump is and be an idiot. Well, maybe you can in some cases, but again, another topic for another show. But for the most part, you can't be an idiot and get to a successful place like that in your life. And I think that it is refreshing to a lot of people this age who hear somebody not afraid to brag about their success and say, hey, I've worked my butt off to get where I am, and it's paid off. I'm successful, I'm wealthy, and I'm not afraid to tell you about it. And I think that's refreshing to a lot of people in that age group, and I think it's resonating with them. But very quickly here, some other in other presidential politics here, besides the Donald, he seems to be dominating a lot of the presidential political discussions. But like I said, we've on the Democrat side, we've got Hillary, of course. We've got Bernie Sanders, who's defying all conventional wisdom also at this point. We've got Martin O'Malley. We've got Lincoln Chafee. I have heard Secretary of State John Kerry's name talked about as a possible getting into the race. Of course, we've heard Vice President Joe Biden is seriously considering this. But there is one other person that just might be considering throwing his hat in the ring. Wait for it. None other than Al Gore. That's right. Al Gore is, this is from a report from BuzzFeed from yesterday, and it says that insiders are, quote, figuring out if there is a path for him to run. And it says that supporters of Al Gore have begun a round of conversations among themselves and with the former vice president about a possible presidential run in 2016. And a senior Democrat told BuzzFeed that they are, quote, they're getting the old gang together. How frightening is that? But they also went on to say they're figuring out if there is a path financially and political, and it feels more real than it has in the past months. And, of course, you have all of the standard senior Democrat official and other sources caution not to overstate Gore's interest. He has not made any formal or informal moves towards running or even met with his political advisors about a potential run. Someone else who supposedly is a member of Gore's inner circle asked to be, quoted, pouring lukewarm water, note not cold water, on the chatter. Another advisor said, quote, this is people talking to people, some of whom may or may not have talked to him. Roy Neal, a former top advisor to Al Gore, said Thursday he hadn't spoken to Gore about it and dismissed the idea of a bid. It's extremely unlikely, he said. When people say, I'm not running, I'm not running, I'm not running, that usually means that they're seriously considering running. So we could be treated to crazy Uncle Joe, who by all accounts liked to swim au naturel in front of female Secret Service agents. Now there's something that would be fun for 4 years, would it not? Maybe not if you're a female Secret Service agent. And then there could be Lurch, who of course served in Vietnam. And bringing up the rear, quite possibly, you never know, Al Gore. Wow, this could be getting fun, you know? It could really, really be getting fun. And, you know, if you are Hillary or one of her supporters, I'm telling you what, you got to be sweating this. But, you know, I will leave you all with one thought. You know, liberals love to talk about how Republicans are the party of old white men. Can we talk about exactly who might be the party of old white men at this point? You know, just saying. But finally, as we wrap things up. In today's WTF segment, a Michigan inmate was awarded $1,251 after a jury ruled his rights were violated when a guard barred him from hugging his wife during a prison visit. Kevin King, 52, who is serving a life sentence for a 1982 murder, was awarded $1 in Detroit federal court last week for a violation of his First Amendment rights and $1,250 as punitive damages. Jurors found that prison officer Tiffany Williams retaliated against King and his wife for previous complaints when Williams ordered them not to touch each other during a 2012 visit at the G. Robert Cotton Correctional Facility in Jackson, Michigan. Judge Matthew Lightman ordered the case to go to trial last fall, saying Williams undervalued human contact and that touching each other was the King's, quote, only sole form of intimacy. Williams had previously said in court documents that her actions were not constitutional violations. So, lesson of the day, my people. If you're in prison, you know, for murder and conjugal visits are out of the question, maybe, well, make sure that you can at least hug your spouse. And if anybody gives you any trouble about it, by God, sue them. With that, I am out of here. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. There's lots of stuff there. Please go to theblacksphere.net. I am also there with lots of great stuff. As with lots of other awesomely talented people who are there, please check them out. Go to facebook.com/BeckyNoble and Twitter, Patriot Witch. Thank you all very much for joining me today. Have a fantastic weekend. I will see you all next time.